A number of years ago, a General Assembly, which is when a bunch of UUs get together once a year, it was one of the first times I'd ever gone to this, and it was fascinating. 5,000 Unitarian Universalists in a new city, big conference, and it was hot. How many of you have been to Texas at the end of the summer? Oh my God, and you had to walk everywhere, and I'm kind of whiny, if not lazy, a little bit of both. So it's the end of the conference, and I had been there for 2 weeks. I was doing a Youth of Color Leadership Development Conference before, and upon checking out, I had this experience with someone who was now a colleague. Grace is the fact that I don't know that colleague's name. My hope is she doesn't know my name. But upon her checking out, she just had been having a bad day, week, month, year, I don't know, and she took it out on the hotel staff. There, as she left, while wearing a name badge that said, Reverend so-and-so, this was wrong, and that was wrong, and blankety-blank, and I had just become a UU. I was still in that honeymoon stage, more or less. I stood there with my mouth just agape, like the first time a kid hears their parent cuss. Mommy, daddy, bad words. The support staff for the hotel, being gracious because their jobs depended on it, stepped aside, probably to not be gracious. And I pulled the minister aside, not knowing who she was, but knowing that, at least in my understanding of Unitarian Universalism, we were bound in some sort of covenant, as you use, to say, I don't think you're at your best right now. The sad part is, if you really know me, and hopefully you will get to know me well, God, that's like the exact way I put it, too. I tend to be tentative about this sort of thing. She said, you're right. But the blankers did this. I get that. I wasn't in ministry, and at the time, I didn't know that that would be on my path. But here, all I could see was the minister. I mean, gosh, she had Reverend on her name badge. She's chewing out the staff. And one of my first thoughts, and what I said to her a moment later was, just take off the badge, lady. It looks pretty bad. Not that I don't think you should be nicer, but people have certain expectations of the minister, of professional ministry, and especially as we're interacting with people who don't know us, it's different in families, or it's different with people who know us well and can see and understand our frustration, and then in other ways. And it didn't help that in other times I'd have conversations, and I wouldn't wear my badge, I'd have conversations with people at bars and restaurants, and they'd say, oh yes, man, this conference we have in town, they can be a hard group. Okay, say more about that. You know, all the demands. Okay, turns out that complaint actually wasn't about our conference, but about the American Legion, also in town. And the good news was that every group can be a hard group to get along with in hot Texas at the end of June. But it made me think, how is it that we come across, especially those of us who are seen as leaders of a faith, whether it's reverend or just professional staff, or as leaders in the church, lay leaders? So I think it's important for us to go back a little bit and talk about what it would look like for me to do that. I often think about how people might interpret my actions here in town if they saw me or knew me. It's usually I really don't feel good, I have a cold, I don't want to go to Walgreens looking like this sort of thing. Not the, I'm going to rant and rave and berate the employee. But frankly, there are times we all do it. Times we're all just not at our best, which is simply what this woman was, not at her best. And in some sense, our Unitarian Universalism allows for that. It does both. It allows for us to be not at our best and holds us in covenant for us to come to one another and say, I noticed that. And how do we get you back to being your best self? And one of the important things at the time that I learned when I first became a UU, that I learned in that interaction with her, and that I've learned in my experience as an ordained minister, is that it doesn't just have to be ministers saying it to ministers or ministers saying it to lay people, but we share this responsibility for doing church well and for living life well. We share our ministry. That's an important aspect to Unitarian Universalism, one we talk about a lot, but perhaps useful to flesh out some. So first, let me state my incredible gratitude for just this morning's worship, where I got to do some things I don't normally do, at least here at Brew, where we got to shake it up a little bit. If today's your first service, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But normally, someone else does the welcome and the announcements. Normally, I do the readings. I enjoyed hearing actually multiple voices. My partner in planning worship, my partner in ministry, Anise, said, hey, you have this reading? I'll find a couple people in the choir to do it. And then there were other people to do another reading, and we got to share different pieces to find the ways that different voices can bring alive the words of truth. And isn't that what ministry is about? It's not that that's the only way it happens. I'm not convinced that you have to have everyone read everything all the time. There's a time for one person to do something, and there's a time for a group. But it's useful to shake it up a bit, to experiment, to get more people involved, especially in worship. So often, worship can be seen as, for lack of a better word or context, the Scott Show. Like three Sundays a month, that's what you tune into, or so it might seem. And what's important for me to share and to say over and over and over again is that it is most definitely not the Scott Show. A sermon I preach, if it's about me, is probably a bad sermon. Sure, I might touch on my life. I might share stories. Most often it's a sermon I need to hear, but you won't know that as much as I do. But it shouldn't be about me. The songs that we sing aren't the songs that I love. The readings aren't my favorite necessarily, but they're useful, because they're part of a conversation that we have been having week in and week out, that we have been having since the very first day I experienced this community years before you knew about me. Sermons, worships, committee meetings, all of ministry is a conversation if we allow it, if we stop to listen, and if we look beyond what appears to be the spoken words. So it takes some time to recognize how the conversation happens, because so often when someone is talking, it appears as though it's only their voice. But I'm only a good minister if I bring your voices out through worship. Again, at Brew, this is very important because we are clear that we share ministry here. In fact, we recently renamed the Committee on Ministry, which is a committee that has kind of an amorphous role in the church, kind of to look at the health of the church and kind of do an evaluation of the minister. We renamed it the Committee on Shared Ministry, because we wanted to make it clear that it's not about the professional minister, but about all of us. Recently, during the announcement, someone was talking and they said, okay, we've had to move the installation, Reverend Scott's installation. It's not on March 8th, which would have been today, but it's on May 3rd. And I heard it, and it just caught me wrong. And I started typing away, and I sent a note in that said, no, 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 no. This thing we're doing in May isn't my installation. It's not about me, but rather it's Brew's installation of me as its minister. And thinking about ministry as something we all do here, about the different tasks we do, the visible and the invisible, the appreciated and the thankless tasks that so many of us take on, that's important. Once a week, hopefully, often, I get to stand up here and present some version of Unitarian Universalism to you. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you fall asleep. I'm doing pretty well if I'm 1 for 4 out of that. But it's not about that. Worship is only a small portion of our congregational life. There's so much more to it, and you all know it because you live it. How many of you show up on a day other than Sunday? Raise your hand. How many of you, keep your hands up if you want, or you can put them down, but how many of you have helped with the building in some form? Have you helped with technology or communications? Have you helped with music? God knows I can't. How many of you who have helped with worship? Or with children. You, my friends, are doing ministry. Now, here's the question, the difficulty. I think that's ministry, and in a way it is, but let's be honest that not everything is. I have a story from a friend of mine, and I know we're out of time, so I'm going to wrap it up. I have to edit this pretty gracefully, hopefully. I have a friend, Maruka. You'll hear a lot of stories about her because we did a lot of adventures together. Maruka, I introduced her to the UU church that I first joined, and she joined it too. It was a good spiritual home for her, but then I moved away, and her connections to it were tenuous, and so she went to other churches. We would talk when I lived in Chicago studying to be a minister, and she found a new church. She told me about it and how interesting it was. You see, part of what's interesting to me is that Unitarian Universalists are a very educated bunch. Of all religions, we are the group with the second largest amount of degrees. Beyond high school, college, graduate school, postdoc. And yet sometimes we struggle accepting ministers, and all of our ministers have to have a master's degree or its equivalent. That's different than some other faiths. In some faiths, you can say, I want a church. Let me start a church. And that's all it takes. UU ministers have to go through a process, being held accountable to other UUs, even in their most difficult moments, like when they're frustrated with hotel staff. But they're held accountable through other, more systematic ways. They're taught through school and processes. But Maruka found this church that wasn't that kind of church. We call it a turn-your-collar-around church. What that means is, you know, imagine the priest with the white collar, you know. You go buy those things. I don't know where, but you do. Sometimes, you know, some ministers don't do that. They just turn the shirt around, and the collar, you know, the collar's already there. That's how they become a minister. God has called them, and there it is. So she was telling me at this church, they met with her on the first day, and they were ready to plug her away. What is it you want to do, Sister Maruka? What interests you? And she would talk about social work, because she's a social worker. Oh, okay, that's good. You like people. Okay. Well, you know what? We don't have a paid staff person. We get a lot of phone calls, so we really need somebody for the phone call ministry. She said, okay. And we need someone to mow the lawn. We have a lawn mowing ministry, and we have a janitorial ministry. And she told me, she said, you know, Brother Scott, because we like to play. She said, you know, Brother Scott, do you think in your church anything and everything's going to be a ministry? I said, I'm not sure. And so we really questioned, does changing the word from committee to ministry make it so? Just because we do the work in the church, does that make it ministry? Think about that for a little bit, if you would. Bruce Marshall, a UU minister close to here in Cedarhurst, at Cedarhurst UU, writes this. Leadership in a UU church involves ministry, not just those who are ordained, but everyone. All of us have a ministry. Now, all ministries aren't the same. Ministry involves witnessing to something that is more, whether it's offering service or testimony, standing in awe or taking a stand, or engaging in a mission that affirms that, yes, there is more to life. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he observes we have different gifts based on the grace that was given to us. We have different talents, and so there are many ways of having a ministry. This is why I use that story for all ages. The image of the Transylvania folks building a church rings so true to me. That's what we do every day here at Brew. We build a church. And some of you bring the tools you have from your life of carpentry, of building things, of money and finances, of music and word and poetry, of being good with people at their sickest and at their saddest. We do this work in tandem, and it is our ministry because we care for one another. Our community becomes the best it can be by growing and changing and welcoming all who walk through these doors. Each of us has a part of ministry here. So often churches would say that it's only the special leaders, the ministers, the ones who are ordained. You may wonder then, if we don't believe that, why is there a guy up here in a robe talking to me three times a month? It's not that we don't believe in ministers, it's just that we recognize the different gifts and talents. One of the things I love is that the good news of our faith says that it's not just my job, it's not just the job of a bishop or a priest to change or save the world, but any of us can do it, and then the burden, the responsibility, is that if any of us can do it, each of us has to take part in it. Each of us is called to do something about it. You may not be able to do it professionally. I have to admit, it is a godsend to do what I love for a living. But you hopefully do what you love for a living, fulfilling your calling, but giving ministry to this church in a different way. I end with our call to worship. In the sermon that was part of my ordination to ministry that said, you are not more special or more holy than us, but you are special to us. The Reverend Mary Catherine Morn wrote this. She wrote of ministry being about being noticing beauty and pain. She says, beauty awakens and admonishes us. Sometimes it is easier to close our eyes and stop our ears. But we are here in religious community, though, not to hide from the anguished cries or the tender lullabies. We are here in religious community not to protect our hearts from breaking. We are here to borrow courage from one another for the task of coming alive. We are here so that together we might heed the admonitions of beauty, we might answer the call to create, protect, and preserve. James Luther Adams says that we are all called to the priesthood and prophethood, that all believers have that. The priesthood is kind of we're here to be nice to one another, to mend things when it's wrong. And the prophethood says, when there is something wrong in the world, we fix it. We make justice. So your charge, as the newly installed ministers of Brew, your charge is to be a priest and a prophet, to keep ministry alive, both amongst the members and the minister of Brew. I leave you with this poem from Hope Johnson. I invite you to close your eyes to hear these words and let them be a guided meditation for you. This is entitled, Keep Your Dreams Alive. Listen. Light the way. Lend a hand. Make decisions. Commit. Take risks. Fail forward. Build community. Nurture meaningful relationships. Be real. Give thanks. Invest in someone or something that you believe in. Live. Love. Dream. Dream big. Be transformed. Transform the world. Lead. And keep your dreams alive. Amen and blessed be.